Welcome to Abiding in Christ. Acts 17:28 says, "In Christ we live and move and have our being." This program is designed to instill in you that all your needs are met when you put Jesus Christ first in your life. Listen now to the Holy Spirit as a Bible teacher and host, Leisha Cantrell, reveals the Word of God.
The Tree of Life. The early church came to understand the cross on which Christ died as the tree of life, bearing the fruit of conversion and holiness all year long. Atroparion sung in Orthodox churches on Holy Cross Sunday proclaims, "Today the ranks of angels dance with gladness at the veneration of your cross. For through the cross, Christ, you have shattered the hosts of devils and saved mankind. The church has been revealed as a second paradise, having within it, like the first paradise of old, a tree of life. You cross, O Lord, by touching it, we share in immortality." Mark helps us understand the withering of the fig tree in light of the cleansing of the temple by weaving together the two incidents. Jesus' pronunciation on the tree symbolizes God's judgment on the temple and its stewards for their spiritual barrenness, a barrenness that consists fundamentally in their refusal to heed Jesus, the Lord of the temple. Like the tree, the temple will come to an end. There will not be one stone left upon another. John 11:20-21, noticing the fig tree withered to its roots, Peter marvels at the effect of Jesus' pronouncement the previous day. The tree is not only fruitless, but completely dead. Another more fruitful tree must take its place. Perhaps in the background is Ezekiel's vision of the new temple from which flowed a river with trees along its banks, bearing fruit all year round. John 11:22. Jesus responds with a call to faith, followed by a short teaching on faith, prayer, and forgiveness. Faith is the right human response to God's faithfulness, a complete trust and reliance on Him, including the confident expectation that He will hear and respond to our prayers. Without it, prayers are empty words. The disciples must trust that their prayers will be heard and that their prophetic utterances, like that of Jesus, will actually be carried out. The context suggests that Jesus is also encouraging the disciples, who are undoubtedly shaken by His prophetic judgment of the temple and the omen of the withered fig tree, not to lose confidence in God's sovereignty over events. God has the solution to the tragedy of the barren temple, symbolized by the withered tree. He can even make the withered tree bloom. John 11:23. Jesus continues with a solemn promise found in different contexts in Matthew and Luke. This mountain could refer to the Mount of Olives, or more likely to the Temple Mount that looms before them as they walk into the city. The Old Testament has the image of mountains being leveled to make way for the establishment of God's reign. What could be more impossible than a mountain being lifted up and thrown into the sea? But Jesus has already assured His disciples that all things are possible for God. The image of a mountain moving is not an invitation to test God by asking for a spectacular phenomena. Rather, it expresses a limitless power of prayer rooted in unconditional faith. Before it, all obstacles to God's plan are removed, even the seemingly impossible. John 11:24. The third saying puts the same principle in more general terms. The mention of prayer recalls Jesus' earlier words about the temple being a house of prayer. And thus, hence, that the replacement for the defunct temple will be the community of disciples gathered around Jesus in faith and prayer. Jesus' house, the church, is the new house of prayer for all peoples. Jesus' disciples are to pray with the utter confidence of children who know their Father hears even before they ask. The Greek reads literally, "Believe that you have received it." John 11:25. Finally, Jesus mentions a condition for efficacious prayer, the same recorded in Matthew after the Our Father. Standing was the primary traditional posture of prayer for Jews and Christians. Jesus had earlier spoken of God as his own Father, Mark 8:38. But now he includes his disciples in that filial relationship. The basis for our confidence in God in prayer is that he is our loving Father, who cares for all our needs and listens to us as to his own beloved children. But unforgiveness is an obstacle that blocks us both from receiving God's forgiveness and from drawing nearer to him in prayer. By the hidden laws of forgiveness, and from drawing near to him in prayer, by the hidden laws of spiritual life, we are not able to open ourselves up to God's boundless mercy unless we release others from their infinitely smaller debts to us, as the parable of the unmerciful servant illustrates. So moving on to John 11:20-26, it's a reflection. These words on faith and prayer present a challenge to every believer. Did Jesus really mean what he said? If so, why have our fervent prayers sometimes, apparently, gone unanswered? The answer lies in understanding believe in the biblical sense in which Jesus used it. To believe is not to work up a subjective feeling of certitude that our prayers will be answered. Rather, it is to enter into a personal, trusting relationship with God so that our prayers become aligned with the true good that he desires for us. Elsewhere, this promise includes the qualification that our prayers must be in Jesus' name, or according to his will, and not with a divided heart. Jesus himself is the model for prayer. That is always answered because of his total surrender to the Father's will. The more we are united with him, the more his desires and priorities become our own, and the more we will see how God answers them. This is the kind of faith Jesus is referring to, not a faith that views God as a kind of cosmic vending machine ready to carry out our every request. Do not be troubled if you do not immediately receive from God what you ask, for he desires to do something even greater for you while you cling to him in prayer. Once committed to conversion, the heart learns to pray in faith. Just as Jesus prays to the Father and gives thanks before receiving his gifts, so he teaches us filial boldness. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it and you will have it. Such is the power of prayer and of faith that does not doubt. All things are possible to him who believes. Jesus is as saddened by the lack of faith of his own neighbors and the little faith of his own disciples as he is struck with admiration at the great faith of the Roman centurion and the Canaanite woman. The prayer of faith consists not only in saying, "Lord, Lord," but in disposing the heart to do the will of the Father. Jesus calls his disciples to bring into their prayer this concern for cooperating with a divine plan. In Jesus, the kingdom of God is at hand. In prayer, the disciple keeps watch, attentive to him who is and him who comes, in memory of the first coming in the lowliness of the flesh, and in the hope of his second coming in glory. In communion with their masters, the disciples' prayer is a battle. Only by keeping watch in prayer can one avoid falling into temptation, whether it's an emotional temptation to feel despondent or whether it's something else that you should not do that you feel drawn to. Prayer strengthens us spiritually, as does the Word of God. And there are various other things that God works in us to give us a strong spirit. A strong spirit can overcome anything. So that's why it's important to pray and to study the Word, so that our spirit is built up and we can endure. Three principal parables on prayer are transmitted to us by St. Luke. The first, the importunate friend, invites us to urgent prayer. Knock, and it will be opened to you. The second, the importunate widow, is centered on one of the qualities of prayer. It is necessary to pray always, without ceasing, and with the patience of faith. In other words, persevere, keep seeking. First we seek when we say we want something, and then we go to the Word of God and we knock. We look for something that will help us to understand God's ways and through which the Holy Spirit will work with us. When Jesus openly entrusts to his disciples the mystery of prayer to the Father, he reveals to them what their prayer and ours must be. Once he has said, returned to the Father in his glorified humanity, once he has returned to the Father in his glorified humanity, he prayed for that glory after he went through the cross, and he said, now, Father, glorify me to be with you as I was at the beginning of time. So what is new is to ask in his name. Faith in the Son introduces the disciples into the knowledge of the Father, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Faith bears its fruit in love. It means keeping the Word and the commandments of Jesus. It means abiding with him and the Father, who in him so loves us that he abides with us. In this new covenant, the certitude that our petitions will be heard is founded on the prayer of Jesus for us before he ascended to the Father. Even more, what the Father gives us when our prayer is united with that of Jesus is another counselor, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. This is what the Scriptures mean when they quote Jesus as saying, anything you ask in my name. John 16:23-24. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Praying in Christ's name means coming on the basis of his merit, not ours. Christ's full name is the Lord Jesus Christ, which means Jehovah, the Savior, God's anointed. The name of Jesus means access into the kingdom of God and all its benefits. Grace and peace to you. Many people like to get a fast response for prayer requests, so I'm giving you my post office box number so that you can send a letter and make a prayer request, or send a donation that way. Write to Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, P.O. Box 460512, Denver, Colorado 80246. You may also listen to the programs again and download them, as well as find contact information on 670KLTT.com on the weekday program guide. Click on Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, and you'll be right there at my website. Thank you for joining me weekly here at Abiding in Christ Ministries for Kingdom, Covenant, and Mediator.